It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for listening and for telling a friend. You're welcome to send any questions or comments to me by email through the Hogue Hospital website at hoguehealth.com. Today we're speaking with Dr. Komal Patil Sisodia. She's an endocrinologist at Hogue Hospital, a wonderful woman in every way, and we're delighted to have her on the show today to be with you and to share her expertise and insights about thyroid disease. Welcome, Dr. Patil.
Hi, Deborah. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure's all ours. Now, how big a problem is thyroid disease in the U.S.?
You know, it's interesting. Hypothyroidism, which is where your thyroid hormones are low, is actually more common than hyperthyroidism, where your thyroid hormone levels are high.
Okay.
And I'd say about 3% of the general population is probably hypothyroid, meaning having some sort of low hormone levels.
Okay. And this is due to diet, inactivity, or hereditary means?
You know, there's a lot of different causes, but I think just to kind of go through some of them, one is just to have a genetic predisposition. So
okay.
A lot of times if you have family members who are hypothyroid, you're genetically primed to get hypothyroidism. The other, and one of the genetic causes that is passed down is Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and that's something that we call an autoimmune disorder.
Okay.
And in that particular disorder, what happens is your white blood cells, which are normally in charge of clearing away infections such as viruses and bacteria, they get a little confused. And something gets turned on, which can be predisposed by stress or just the fact that you are genetically predisposed to this, and your white blood cells get triggered to start attacking your own body's tissues, namely your thyroid gland in this case.
Okay.
And that's what's called Hashimoto's thyroiditis, is it's your own body starting to attack your thyroid gland, and it eventually leads to its destruction, making people hypothyroid.
Okay, and tell me the symptoms then that they suffer.
The symptoms that most people commonly come in with is the most common one, in my experience, is fatigue, just feeling very, very, very tired. Other symptoms that people can have are feeling cold all the time, what we like to call cold intolerance. There can also be some weight gain, about 10 to 15 pounds more so than people are used to carrying on them. And then it can also cause depression, some muscle cramps, joint pain. We also see some changes in skin and hair in patients. They notice that their skin becomes very, very itchy and dry. Their hair becomes thin and brittle. Hair is also, it can also fall out. So some people complain of hair loss as well.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. So big change overall.
Sure. I had a friend who had it, and she also said she just did not feel mentally like herself at all.
Yeah, people feel very, very cloudy. Some people come in and complain to me, and they say, you know, I feel like I'm in a fog.
Yes.
I can't concentrate at work. I am just not feeling 100%.
Those were her words exactly. I'm walking around in a fog, and even there was sort of a film over her eyes, and she goes, everything is just blurry.
That's interesting. Yeah, a lot of people complain of that. And so, and it's interesting because thyroid hormone is one of those things that regulates your metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your metabolism is slowing down, it's not unfathomable that all of these symptoms will start. I mean, they're pretty much indicative of your metabolism slowing down at some point.
Now, there's a second disease that I'd like to discuss, Graves' disease, also, linked with thyroid disease. Maybe we could talk a little bit about Graves.
Absolutely. And Graves' disease is interesting because it is also, like Hashimoto's thyroiditis, an autoimmune condition.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in Graves' is somewhat opposite. Your white blood cells, when they get confused and start attacking your thyroid in this particular scenario, they form antibodies, which are protein particles that go and stimulate your thyroid gland. So now instead of destroying it, your thyroid gland gets constitutively turned on, and you just pour out all of this excess thyroid hormone that your body doesn't need.
Right.
And so what ends up happening is your symptoms end up being the opposite of hypothyroidism. You feel, with the exception of fatigue, some people do also get fatigue with Graves' disease, but you feel hot all the time, you feel flushed, you get weight loss despite what you're eating, which most of us love, I'm not going to lie. And then you can also have sweating and having tremors, palpitations. You feel like your heartbeat is racing. So there's a lot of symptoms that indicate that your metabolism is being revved up. It's almost like you have a constant adrenaline surge.
Yeah, people are saying the word amped.
Yeah.
Amped up, you know, and it's really Graves' disease. And, you know, this is, of course, is it 1% of the population with Graves, or it's a much smaller percent than...
It's a much smaller percentage. I think 1% is probably right. For hypothyroidism, it is more common.
Okay.
One is probably about right for the hyperthyroidism from Graves' disease. And there are other causes of hyperthyroidism, but Graves' disease accounts for about 80% of them.
Okay.
So if you're going to have that, that's going to be the most common one.
Now that we've sort of isolated the problems, let's talk a little bit about the treatment.
Okay.
Someone comes to you with hypothyroidism. It's easy for me to remember hypo kind of means slow, and hyper, of course, means fast. So
yes, that's the best way to look at it.
Okay, so tell me what we do, first of all, with someone with hypothyroidism.
Well, with hypothyroidism, what we want to do is we want to look at what their actual hormone levels are. And we can get an indication. We check hormones that come from the pituitary gland, which sits in your brain. And that's kind of like the remote control of all of the hormonal function in your body. But specifically for your thyroid, it secretes a hormone that's called TSH, known as thyroid-stimulating hormone. And it pretty much sends a signal to your thyroid gland to pick up its production of thyroid hormone. However, if your thyroid gland is being destroyed, your thyroid gland is not able to respond to that. So what we see in hypothyroidism is that your pituitary gland just keeps sending a stronger and stronger signal. So kind of counterintuitively, your TSH level goes up, while your actual thyroid hormone levels, which are T4 and T3, those can be low or they can be low normal. Mm-hmm. And so we look at those, and based on whether the patient fits the profile of whether their hormones are being altered in that way, we will decide on giving them thyroid hormone replacement.
Okay.
At that time. And there are synthetic preparations that are available. The brand names are Synthroid and Levoxyl, but just the generic name is levothyroxine. And that seems to be our number one friend in treating hypothyroidism.
Is this a pill?
It is a pill. It's an oral pill that patients take once a day. I recommend that they take it on an empty stomach with only a glass of water about an hour before they eat breakfast, no other pills at the same time, so that they can get the maximal absorption out of that particular medication.
Okay. Side effects?
Side effects can be those of hyperthyroidism. So if you're overtreated, you can feel the tremors, the palpitations, the heat intolerance.
There you have it. Okay, let's move on to hyperthyroidism and the treatment.
So with hyperthyroidism, it's interesting. There's three different treatments. You can treat with medication. You can treat with radiation to kind of kill off some of the function of the thyroid gland, or you can treat with surgery if it's bad enough to remove the entire thyroid gland. Usually we start with medications, and there's two that are on the market. One is called methimazole, and the other one is called propylthiouracil. And usually we give one of those two medications to what we call cool down the thyroid gland so that it's not pouring out all of this hormone.
Okay.
And when we start with the pills, our goal is to treat for about 12 to 18 months and see whether it cools down with the medication at that point.
Okay.
If it is unable to do so, then we move to either doing radioactive iodine or to doing surgery if radioactive iodine does not work.
It seems amazing you can live without your thyroid gland. If you have it removed, what changes would you notice?
If you have it removed, you would become hypothyroid. And at that point, what we would do is we would put you back on the thyroid hormone.
Okay.
Provided that your thyroid hormone doses are adjusted properly, you should be able to live without your thyroid gland without problem.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating.
Right up there with the appendix. Like, why?
And then why is it there, right?
We must have evolved, you know. We at one point we needed it, right?
Exactly. Well, I think also it helps that science has helped us get there. Because if hypothyroidism or hyperthyroidism go untreated long enough, then they can both eventually result in death if patients are not taking their medications properly. And so now, because we have the science and technology that has found medications appropriate to treat each condition, we're able to live much longer, and we're able to live without the help of our thyroid. So I think a lot of that credit has to go to the scientific community for coming up with treatments for these particular conditions.
Absolutely. It's very important to get the right doctor. Do you really need an endocrinologist to counsel you if you're diagnosed with thyroid disease?
You know, it depends. With hypothyroidism, if they're able to adjust you on a dose right away, I would say that you can follow with your primary care doctor. However, if you're having trouble getting your dose adjusted, I would recommend you go to an endocrinologist. Now, on the flip side with hyperthyroidism, because there are a lot more implications with hyperthyroidism in terms of end organ damage, meaning it can predispose you to getting cardiac arrhythmias, it can actually increase your risk of osteoporosis in the future. For those patients, I recommend that they go to an endocrinologist.
Good advice. Thank you so much, Dr. Patil, for being on the show.
My pleasure.
This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. It's such a pleasure to be here with you, and please stay tuned. There is much, much more to come.